Take your Bibles this morning and open them up to Luke in chapter 12. As I shared last week, Luke right now is a portion here. It's a portion that has some similarities to other portions of the New Testament. And yet there are some ways that things are stated in such a way that they bring a clarity to what we're studying. So it's a teaching time as the Lord is with his disciples. Religion throughout the years has been rocked by scandal. From various sexual sins to various types of fraud, financial scams, and then cover-ups, organized religion has suffered its fair share of black eyes. When these events are revealed, what is the world's first response? But it just doesn't affect religion. What about the politics around us today? What did Jesus say about hypocrisy? And how can we be encouraged? When we stop and we think about it, and I said in general terms, but you can add specifics to your mind when you think of sexual problems. You can add specifics to your mind when you stop and you think of various frauds. You can add specifics to your mind when you think about financial scams. And with those specifics in our mind, we have heard the world and what the world has had to say about, quote unquote, these religious people and how they lived and what they did. And the comment by the unsaved world very quickly is hypocrites, hypocrites. And nobody's exempt from it. We've tried to keep our dirty laundry kind of covered, but I think over the years, doing that has brought more charges than saying, you know what, yeah, we got this problem. I know even within one of the missionary agencies that we support, there was sexual misconduct on the mission field. And they had to deal with that. And then you see the comments. And when stuff like that hits the media and it hits the social media, and everybody then begins to make a comment, comment after comment after comment after comment. So often you see over and over and more hypocritical, all that keeps coming back. And when we look at chapter 12 of Luke, we find Jesus continuing his teaching. And as he's continuing his teaching in verse number 1 of chapter 12, it says, in the meantime, what was going on? What was prior? When there were gathered together, excuse me, an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod upon one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Which is hypocrisy. Now, as we look at this and we see the world, it's sad that sometimes there, you know, we get labeled in a group, you know, I don't go to church because it's filled with hypocrites. Well, then don't come because it'll be one more. No, that's wrong. We say come because we're just forgiven by God. Okay? And when we stop and we think about that, those thoughts and people have said that, and I've been around people before who have said that. I've been around people, sad to say, in years gone by, they said even about our church. Oh. I said, you know, but by the grace of God. But by the grace of God. And so as we stop and realize what's going on here, Jesus takes a point here and he says, let's talk about this, guys. Now, I would like for us for just a moment here to kind of wrap our minds around this scene. Again, this is one of these scenes here that we read through very quickly and all of a sudden we don't get the intensity of the moment. Let's see what's going on. In the meantime, so what's happened is this. Jesus, back in chapter 11, if you look at it here, it's been recorded in chapter 11, starting in verse number 40, he's talking about the Pharisees there, and he says in verse 41, he says, you give tithes or alms of those things, of tithing of your spices and all that kind of stuff, verse 42, but you've missed love and you've missed justice. In verse 43, he says, whoa, you love the uppermost seats, you want preeminence. Verse 44, he says unto them, you hypocrites, you're like graves that people walk over, don't even know they're stepping on the dead. Then the lawyers got into it. He said, well, you're condemning us also because we helped to interpret the law. And he said, yeah, you're right. And he says, you've given burdens to people that are too heavy to bear, and you won't even begin to touch them, in verse 44. Verse 47, for you built sepulchers or tombs over the prophets that your fathers have killed them. And he says, what you're doing is you're actually giving honor to the people that did the killing and not honor to the prophets. And so he goes on from there, and then he says, there's the blood of the prophets. And in verse 52, he says, you have taken away the key of knowledge. You've stopped people from entering the kingdom because of your hypocritical lifestyle. You've stopped people from entering the kingdom. And then in the meantime, there's a crowd. And the words here that are there, an innumerable multitude. The thought is thousands of thousands. There is a crowd that is growing around Jesus at this moment. And it says they're stepping on one another. You ever been in a crowd before that you kind of think, man, I can't wait to get out of here? You know, the first one I remember, there's a little kid that stuck to my mind. We went to the Baltimore Oriole baseball stadium for the July 4th fireworks. And after the ball game, we saw the 4th of July fireworks over the Baltimore Oriole stadium. And then I can remember coming out from the stadium and mom and dad hanging on to us three boys and hanging on tightly. And I'm, you know, you're a little guy at this point, so what's everybody around you? They're like towers above you. You can't see where you're going. It's kind of like all you're doing is looking at those footsteps around you, and you're being pushed and trampled, and you say, man, I can't wait to get out of here. Same thought here. There's this group that's growing, and it says literally thousands of people, and they're stepping on one another. And why are they stepping on one another? Because they're trying to get close to the teacher. You know, if there's 1,000 people and there's one speaker, and the speaker is standing in the middle of the gathering place there, and there's no microphone or anything, what are people going to try to do? Get as close as possible so they can hear what he's saying. And so all of a sudden you've got these crowds, you've got this mass of humanity, and they're stomping over one another. They're pushing to get to the stage. And as they're tramping on one another, there's 12 little guys sitting in a circle with Jesus in the middle, and the masses are pressing upon them, and they're probably being pushed and being shoved, and as people are trying to get close, it's kind of like, down in front, I want to hear too. No, I'm not, you know, and everybody stand up, and everybody just, there's this mass of humanity there that's trying to get to the master, and then Jesus uses that as a teaching time. And as a teacher, I stop and think, there's no way they're getting this. You know, you're sitting here this morning, you're nice, you're comfortable, you're not being pressed upon, and your minds are still out there somewhere sometimes. And now you've got a situation like this, and the mass of humanity is pressing down upon them, and they're trying to listen to what the master has to say. And what a teaching moment. Because the disciples at this very moment are feeling the press of the crowd. And that feeling of press of the crowd is something that they're being told to say, okay, what about the press of popular opinion? What about the press of the media? And how do you respond to that? How do you stay focused in the right way? And so as we stop and we see what's happening here, these crowds are there and they're growing and they're large. I read a story I saw this past week. It was in a book that was called Shantung Compound by Landon Gilkey. And he was talking about being a POW in a prison camp in China in World War II. And in World War II, somebody in that prison camp had done something wrong. And so the German officer that was in charge, they said it was a short little guy, came in with his gun and with his big voice, and he took the groups around, and he was just screaming at them. And they're all there watching, and they're thinking, what's he going to do? Who's he going to shoot? You know, what's going to happen here? And the author wrote, and he said, and here I was with a group of seasoned veterans, and we were tough guys, but all of a sudden, when we got finished with him, and he got finished with us, it was kind of like, yes, sir. And then he left our group, and he went over to the next group, which was a group of monks that were also in this internment camp, prison camp. And it says that he went into the middle there, and all the monks made a circle around him. And as they made a circle around him, he began his tirade against them, just like he did those veterans, those GIs. And he's thinking, oh man, they're going to get away. How are the monks going to respond? And all of a sudden, he heard laughter coming. And what in the world? And so he says, I walked over to see what was going on, and I saw this Japanese prison guard running out from the midst of the monks. And the monks were just there holding their sides, just laughing. And he said, what happened was this. The monks all surrounded this Japanese guy with a gun. And in a certain moment, the one monk noticed, and he made a nod, and they all kind of took a step towards him. And looked again, and they took another step towards him. And they kept watching the lead monk, and each time he'd nod, they'd take another step, and another step, and another step. And all of a sudden, this Japanese gentleman who was screaming at these monks ran out of the group screaming, why? By the very press of the monks around him. They didn't have guns or anything. And he's screaming and yelling, and he was brandishing his weapon. And by the time the press of the monks got around him to that point, he ran out of the crowd, and everybody, and the monks were just standing there laughing at him, you know, poor little man. And kind of the same thing here, but here's the disciples, and the press of the crowd now is pushing down and pushing down and pushing down. And at that very moment, Jesus says, beware of the leaven, or beware of the yeast of the Pharisees, because it's hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. And as we stop and we think about this today, and we think about hypocrisy, dealing with hypocrisy in Luke chapter 12, as we stop and see what's going on here, how do we deal with this? And how do we, I get frustrated myself personally, because of the hypocrisy I see around us in religious circles, but I see it politically too. It seems like there's double standards everywhere. And one person, it's kind of like, you know, they get away with it, but this person doesn't. And we've watched this be overplayed. And why do certain people get away with it and other people don't? And that's a question that's answered in this passage of Scripture. So we need to listen here this morning and keep that in mind. Dealing with hypocrisy. Well, what is hypocrisy? Number one, the Lord does this. Hypocrisy is described as yeast. Beware of the yeast, or the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now, how many of you ladies here, or even maybe some of you men, like to take some flour and like to take a little packet of yeast, put a little hot water with it, dump it together, and begin to watch it do its magic? Anybody like doing that? You know, the old sweet rolls and stuff like that you could do and watch the magic happen. Those things take place. And I kind of like to do it. I do it once a year at Christmas time. We have a Christmas tradition. And my wife and I do these things. And we use yeast and flour and all that kind of stuff. I always like the smell of it. Well, what is it about yeast? What is it? You know, that little packet of yeast, you take about 2 cups of flour and you throw on top of it. And you mix it all up and you throw it in the refrigerator, let it chill a little bit. But when you go to pick that back up again, what's it done? So small, and yet now what? So permeating. It seeps through everything. And it's something that, you know, if it actually will flavor the bread or the dough that you're making, the rolls, the whatever they may be, sweet rolls that you're making, something of that sort. It flavors it. It causes it to rise. You beat it down. It rises again. And it causes that bread to swell up. And what is it about it that he uses yeast for that very thought? He said hypocrisy is a thing that just causes people to be puffed up also. And he says, you know, this hypocrisy that mankind has to deal with is an issue that can be so subtle and so insidious. But before it's all done, it's exploded into this loaf. And as you and I stop and we think about that, and maybe some of you people have done it, now you got some smells going through your mind at least. You don't smell them in here, but you got them going through your mind in regards to this idea. But the Lord says, beware of this yeast. Beware of hypocrisy, because it's like a little bit of yeast when you put it into something and it permeates everything. He says, guys, keep that in mind. And here's the crowd just when they're crashing upon them. Let me give you a few thoughts here. Wikipedia.com said this: hypocrisy is the practice of claiming to have moral standards or beliefs to which one's own behavior does not conform. The practice of claiming to have moral standards or beliefs to which one's own behavior does not conform. That's Wikipedia. Dictionary.com, a pretense of having a virtuous character, moral or religious beliefs or principles that one does not really possess. The pretense of having this religious character of yourself that you really don't possess. So those are the websites, but let's go to Merriam-Webster. That's the standby. A feigning or a faking to be what one is not, or to believe what one does not. Behavior that contradicts what one claims to believe or feels his believe or feel. It's the idea of a morality that serves as a cover-up for hypocrisy. A morality that serves as a cover-up for somebody's lifestyle that is not what they say they are. So all of a sudden we're hit with this concept here that Jesus says, watch out for hypocrisy. Well, we've been watching it. We've been watching it happening in the world around us. Literally from the scriptures, and that's why you see the picture up here, it means to put on the mask. To put on the mask. A player actor in the days of Rome and on the Greek stages, if you remember some, you may have seen some of this before, where the actors would stand on the stage and basically had a mask and they could hold it one way and they could flip it around and they looked something else. And that came from, they were called hypocrites. The actors were called hypocrites. Every actor today is a hypocrite. Knows, I don't mean that in a bad way, but they're being something they're not. Maybe some are being what they are, I don't know. But the idea literally is to put on the mask. You're hiding something that is not true. You're being something that is not real. And as the Lord said to his disciples at this very moment, he said this: beware of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. Don't let it become a part of your life. So how do we deal with that? Hypocrisy is described as yeast. As we see it here taking place here, how do we keep it out of our lives? And so we have the crowds here. We find what's going on here. But let's go through some of the thoughts that he put here today. If you're following along in your Bibles, we'll be at verse number 2 and verse number 3. Hypocrisy is characterized by deception. Hypocrisy, and this is the Lord saying here at this point. So he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. And he says, verse 2 and 3, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. Neither hid, that shall not be known. Therefore, whatsoever ye have spoken in darkness shall be heard in the light, and that which ye have spoken in the ear, or it's the idea of whispering in somebody's ear. How many of you have grandkids? Yeah. How many times have those grandkids come up and whispered in your ear? What did you start to do? Yeah. You know, they kind of get up there. And they're blowing everything else, and yeah, okay, but they're whispering in your ear. Well, this here is the idea of it's whispered in the ear, and supposedly nobody else hears it. But every time your grandkid does that, what happens? The whole room knows it anyhow. You know, I heard what you said. But the idea here is to whisper in the ear. Somebody just goes, and like that, and it's all done. And he says this, and there's not something spoken in darkness shall be heard in light, and that which you have spoken in the ear, in the closet, in the innermost room of the house, shall be proclaimed upon the housetops. So how many of you right now look at what's happening in our nation, in our land, and you stop and you say, Lord, what about all this hypocrisy? I do. And the Lord said, okay, let me tell you what's going to happen. Their hypocrisy will be revealed. Their hypocrisy will be revealed. What they're doing here in these verses, as he's telling his disciples, and he's saying, you know what? We just dealt with those Pharisees, and they're hypocrites. And yet the people look at them as, wow, look at this person, and they've got this ability, and they've got this position, and they've got this honor, and they're this, and they're that, and the other thing. And he says, don't worry, guys. Their day is coming. Their day is coming. Now, he's speaking here in a religious context. And there are those in religion who seem to sometimes get away. And people have been concerned about that. They've watched certain events happen with certain denominations in our country and saying, is there justice going to be done? You know, it's sadly right now, and I remember this, Boy Scouts of America. You know, of all groups, you know, I was a Boy Scout. I never got to be an Eagle. I was at a Star. But then I got involved in sports and music and stuff in school, and so I didn't have time to do Boy Scouts. But I stopped, and they got a fund out there established right now for, of all things, to be honest and to be clean and to be brave and to be whatever, I forget that anymore. And you stop and think, and there are scout masters who did what to boys? And people go, hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. And the Lord says, in time, every hypocrite will be exposed. It's characterized by deception. Lying is a subset of deception. Some say they lie about the stuff that they do. As we've watched what's happening in the nation around us, and you think, how are they speaking this and getting away with it? And God says, wait a minute. They will be exposed. But Lord, it's not the way I want it done. They will be exposed. But Lord, Abraham came and said, if there's but how many righteous? Well, they're not righteous people. Lord, would you do something right now? And there's some of us, and I'm part of that. I'd like to see a head roll, one or two, not literally. Justice. And but how are they getting away with it? The Lord says, they're not. They're not. And what happens? As we see their hypocrisy, and when we see their hypocrisy, we don't see our Savior. And then we start to say, Lord, wait a minute, wait a minute. Hypocrisy is characterized by deception. It will be revealed. It will be made known. In verse number 2, it's interesting, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed. And that's in one of those tenses again that stops and says that somebody is going to reveal it. Somebody, not the person, but somebody from the outside is going to reveal it. It's going to be made known. Now, sometimes people are getting caught. Sometimes they may get away with it. But they're not. They will be caught. And so for you and I, when we get kind of, I get kind of jacked up sometimes myself. I think of the double standards. I think of the hypocrisy. And the Lord says, Gary, I got this. Stop worrying about it. But Lord, righteousness exalts a nation. I understand, but I got this. They will be revealed. But it will be revealed. And so as we stop and realize this hypocrisy that's on in the world around us, and the hypocrisy in Christendom and religiosity, may we stop and realize something. The Lord says this hypocrisy, he says, be careful. But he says, I'm going to tell you something. What you think they're getting away with is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. It may not happen in our timing, but they're not going to get away with it. And you know, when we stop and think about the sin of hypocrisy and how insidious it is, there's an illustration in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 13. You don't have to turn there this morning, but Paul takes the son of consolation. Now, I just put out a term there that you stop and say, no, who's he talking about? No. Nope. The son of comfort, the son of consolation. Nope. Everybody's doing here. Remember, Paul's writing about it. See, this is a tough one. Barnabas. Barnabas. Remember Barnabas, the son of comfort, the son of consolation? The one who took John Mark and said, hey, Paul, good boy. Yeah, he blew it this time, but I'm going to take him along. We're going to comfort him. We're going to get him geared up, and he's going to go on the journey again. Paul said, no, he's not. Yes, he is. And the Son of Consolation took him under his wing. But what happened, when I'm talking about Galatians here, is this. Peter and Barnabas were rebuked by Paul for their hypocrisy. What happened? When they were with the Galatians and there was no Jews around, Peter and Barnabas said, "Hey, man, we're glad you're part of the body of Christ. We love you and I'm glad you're here." And then all of a sudden some Jews came along. And what did Peter and Barnabas do? They went over here to the Jews because of they were afraid what they would think about them hanging out with the Gentiles. And Paul says, guys. And you know, when you read that about Barnabas, the son of comfort, the son of consolation, even he got caught up in it. So we have to be careful. And Jesus warns us, and he warns his people, be careful of the hypocrisy. I've got this. It will be revealed. Number three, hypocrisy generates fear. Hypocrisy generates fear. Let's look at this for a moment in verses 4 and following. "And I say unto you, my friends," and here's Jesus. Remember the crowds. And he says, "I say unto you, my friends." I like that. "Be not afraid of them that kill the body, and after that have no more that they can do. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he is killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." Now, I'm going to stop there for just a moment. But when we stop and we think about that and we realize what's going on here, hypocrisy generates fear. He's saying here, and the word there is used as phobia. It's a phobia. There's a fear that's taking place here. And you know what? As we're here, we don't know who we can believe anymore. And we're getting a little fearful. Who do you believe? What do you believe? Who's saying the truth? Who's not saying the truth? And there's a fear of that. But there's also, in a hypocrite's life, a fear of being found out who they really are. And so what do? They'll do anything they can to cover their tracks. They'll do anything they can to make things disappear. We've seen that happen. And we see that taking place around us. And people get fearful under hypocrisy. And the people that are under that hypocrisy become fearful. If they can make that person disappear, they can make me disappear. People are thinking that today. Well, if they can do a wiretap on that person, who's to say they can't do a wiretap on me? What do you have to offer? What do I have to offer? I don't live under that. They're not going to get anything from me, you know. But if somebody wants to throw you under the bus, they can nowadays. But what happens? Hypocrisy generates fear. Fear in the person who's living under the hypocrisy, and fear in the person who is living the hypocrisy. And that's what we're finding here at this point. And it says here, "Be not afraid of them that kill the body, but then after that, nothing else." Now we stop for a moment and say, that's the ultimate. What did Jesus say to his guys? What's the big deal, guys? They can only kill you. Well, yeah, no, that's it. It's done. It's over. And we get so cranked up and we get so anxious. And Jesus says, hey, wait a minute, guys. Wait a minute. And as he stops and he says this here, "Be not afraid of them that kill the body, and afterwards they have no more they can do. It's finished. But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed has the power to cast into Gehenna. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." And all of a sudden we got some theology here that most of us don't like. Gehenna is hell. And it says, fear him who's going to cast you into hell. And we stop and we hear out there, if that is by your God of love, then what? I want nothing to do with him. Until you start to talk to him a little bit. Well, what about that person that just molested that 3-month-old baby? Well, yeah, okay. You think they just have the right to skate? Well, no. Okay? Your own heart tells you that justice is necessary. And so people do this because all of a sudden they have to stop and say, okay, here's hell, here's Gehenna, and what was it? It was the Valley of Hinnom, which is outside the gates of Jerusalem, and during the reign of Manasseh, and he was the most wicked king in the nation of Israel's history, the longest living king, 52 years, I believe it was 52 years, in the kingship, and at the very end he repented and turned back to God, and God was gracious to him. But before that time, Manasseh turned around in the Valley of the Sons of Hinnom. He turned around and set up child sacrifice and offered his own kids in slaughter. And it became known as the Valley of Hell. Could I share something with you? Every Planned Parenthood building in this country is a building of hell. Why? Because they destroy those babies. And God, as I said before, judged the nation of Israel, and the Valley of Hinnom became the place of the garbage dump of the city of Jerusalem. It became the garbage dump. And it was a place where we read in Scripture where the worm dieth not and the fire is not quenched. And it was those garbage dumps that took place that created so much of the eye problems in the people during that time, and why Jesus healed so many blind people, because the smoke that came up from all the trash that was thrown out there, that was always smoldering, they brought their sewage out there, they brought their old food and stuff out there, any trash that they had, they would throw it out there, and that became the place that initially where they offered children in sacrifice. But then the Lord uses it here, and Luke uses it here and says, this is the place of defining of hell, and he says, fear the person who can put you there, and he's talking about God. Hypocrisy does generate fear. Fear, 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 fear. And for us to stop and realize that, again, what God did to the nation of Israel, we are not exempt from in America. Not that we are a Jewish nation, but our morality will bring God's judgment. Hypocrisy generates fear. But fear God and realize his care for you. Why? Go to the next verses here. Verse 6. Are not 5 sparrows sold for 2 farthings, a 16th of a cent, or a 16th of a day's wages? And not one of them is forgotten before God. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. What's the average hair count on the most people in America, the average hair count? Did you ever look that one up? That's one of those Google searches. 150,000. 150,000 hair follicles. Okay, some of you got more, some of us got less. That's, you know, the way it goes. But, you know, 150,000 hair follicles. And God knows every one of them. Don't you like that? God knows every one of them. For 4 billion people, you do the math. My phone won't go that big. 150,000 follicles for 4 billion people. And God knows them all. And he says here, as hypocrisy generates fear and people watch what's going on around them, and he's talking to the disciples here, and he says, guys, think about this. Think about all these people around you right now, and think about what the Pharisees are doing right now, and this press is happening, and you're becoming fearful. What's going to take place? He says, hey, settle it down just a little bit. Verse number 6, what about the sparrows? He says, God knows every time one falls to the ground. And sparrows at that time, they used to catch them, and they were for the very, very, very poor. You take a sparrow, you pluck his feathers out, you throw them in a pot, you cook it up, get some broth, and you whatever you could throw with it, you threw with it, and that's what you had for a meal. And the Lord said, every time somebody eats one of those little guys, I know it. And every time you lose another hair, I know it. And so he says this, he says, rather fear him, fear God, and trust him. Aren't you of more value? Realize his care for you. Aren't you of more value? And what do we do with the hypocrisy around us? is we let it get us all stirred up and we stop him and say, they're getting away with it. How come there's a double standard? Why are they doing this and why are they doing that? And he says, guys, you know, we got the same problem here in Jerusalem right now, but we got the same problem in America. And he turns around and he says, guys, he says, people, settle down. He says, Gary, settle down. They're trying to put on a mask. I got this. And fear me. Don't fear them. Because all they can do is kill you. And we go, eh. But what do we know? What did Paul say? Absent from the body and what? Present with the Lord. And that's what makes the world mad at Christians. Because if we really live our faith, and they find us comfortable with the concept of death and dying, that gets them mad. You can't have that privilege. You can't have that right. Well, you want my Jesus? I'll tell you about him. And so we find this taking place here, and we find this thought here, but then we find also this, number four, is hypocrisy is combated by confession. Hypocrisy is combated by confession. What do we mean by that? Look at this here. But I say unto you, verse number 8, whosoever shall confess me before men, him shall the Son of Man also confess before the angels of heaven. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of heaven, and whosoever shall speak a word. So we've got this verbalization of what's taking place here. Whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But unto him that blasphemeth against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven. Now, we'll get to that in a second. But what's happening here? Hypocrisy itself is combated by confession. How can you and I begin to battle the hypocrisy that could be in our lives? Be bold in regards to what we say about Jesus. Verse number 8. And I say unto you, whosoever shall confess me, whosoever shall confess me, where? Before men. When you've made that stand, and you've put it out there, God gives us the boldness, but it gives you a little bit harder to turn tail and run. Be careful what you say, and what you say it about, but when you put it out there in words, you know, how many times is it people don't have any idea who we are until what? We open our mouths. People have no idea who you and I are until the moment we open our mouths. And the moment we open our mouths, they can turn around and begin to ascertain very quickly who we are. Be bold about that. Confession. My wife and I had somebody come to our house, and this person came to buy something that it was, you know, we figured it's time to get rid of it, so we got rid of it. And as this person came to our house, they had a hat on. And I just kept watching that hat, kept talking to this person and what they're up to. And right at the very end, I turned around and said, hey, you got a cross on your hat. What's that mean to you? And immediately just flushed red. And I thought, oh, man, I didn't want to make her feel wrong. Her, it was a she. Didn't want to make her feel uncomfortable. But then she said, I'm a Christian. I said, that is so cool. But it was the cross that I used, and it was that which caused her to all of a sudden just like, you know what? The Lord says, confess me before men. And she was doing it quietly. I don't think she ever had too many people ask her about the cross on her hat, but that's okay. And she was doing it quietly, but he says here, what I want you to say in verse number 8. He says, whosoever shall confess me. That's the same word that's in 1 John 1:9 in the original language. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And the word there is that word that's so cool in the Greek language. It means to say the same thing. To say the same thing. If I confess my sins, if I say the same thing about my sins that Jesus would say, he says, I'll forgive you. Don't say something about your sin and add a but to it. Time out. No, not going there. Say about your sin what I would say about your sin with no ifs, ands, or buts. We got this. But in this situation right here, the same thing. He says, what I want you to do, guys, as you're out there and you're going to be faced with hypocrisy and you're going to be challenged to be a hypocrite yourself by keeping your mouth shut and not maybe speaking up. He says, speak up for me. Say about me what I've just said about myself. There's no way to get to heaven but through me. Through Jesus. There's no way to get to heaven but through Jesus. Wait a minute. All right, you already put your foot out there. Now, as you put your foot out there, and as you find this confession that begins to take place, we find this here, and it says, and I say unto you, confess me before men, and guess what? Somebody in heaven is seeing something good about you. The Son of Man also will confess you before the angels of God. Heaven. He says, don't be quiet about your belief. Don't be quiet about your faith. Sometimes we are, you know, everybody keeps saying, well, there's going to be an election coming up, but people don't want to say how they're going to vote. That's your privilege. We got a Savior out there. What do you believe about him? And he goes on. But he that denieth me before men shall be denied before the angels of God in heaven. Now, just keep this in mind. This is not a loss of salvation here, but it's the idea here that sometimes you, by your life and by the way you live your life, you can deny who you really are. Who did that? Peter. Peter did that. This doesn't mean you lose it all, but he says, and then Peter, he had to go back and, yes, Lord, I love you, I love you, I love you. Okay, we got it. It's combated by confession, number two, and forgiveness. We'll go on there. And whosoever shall speak a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. Peter spoke against Jesus. I don't know him. I don't know who you're talking about. I never seen this guy. And he spoke against Jesus. And what did the word of God say? And what happened to Peter? He still was forgiven. But he says, if anybody blasphemes the Holy Ghost or speaks against the Holy Ghost... And this is the idea here of saying things that, you know, you're attributing to Satan the things of God. That's happened prior to also. He says, don't take this. We got the Spirit living within us. And what mankind can do nowadays is this, is can continue to reject that Spirit's working in their lives. We talked about this in the adult Bible studies this morning, how that God can work in your life and work in your life and work in your life and work in your life, and all of a sudden, bam, it just clicks. And you understand what Jesus is all about. And you know in your heart and your life, if I don't accept him as my Savior, I'm going to be in Gehenna. I'm going to be in hell. And you respond. And there's forgiveness. But he says, those that blaspheme against the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is working in this planet right now. And he's convicting men of sin and righteousness and judgment. And we continue to say, nope, 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 nope. That's just fine. Done. And a person can get to that point in their lives. And so as he's here at this point, he's telling them, he says, don't blaspheme, don't speak against the Holy Spirit. Be speaking about your Savior. Be talking about your Savior. Don't be ashamed of your Savior. And he says, if you do that, guess what? It'll help you from being a hypocrite. Because once you've put it out there, that's probably the hardest thing to do first, is do that first step. And once you've done the first step, Okay, they didn't kill me yet, we're okay. And so we find Jesus talking about this hypocrisy that's going on around them. And then we find this last thought here. Our defense against the hypocritical. How do we defend ourselves? Verse 11 and 12. And when they bring you unto the synagogues and unto the magistrates and the powers that be, that take ye no thought how or what things ye shall answer or what ye shall say, for the Holy Ghost shall teach you in the same hour what you ought to say. Our defense against the hypocritical is, number one, don't worry, and number two, trust. Verse 11. When they drag you before, you know what he says here at this point, what Jesus says? He says, guys, I just want to warn you. Followers, I just want to warn you. There are going to be times that for your faith, you're going to be challenged. There'll be times for your faith, you might be persecuted. And as we look around the world around us, we see that. We know that's happening. In America, be interesting to see. Right now, it's all good. We're here, and it's not as bad as what some think it could be. But he challenges them. He says, I want to tell you something here. And he says this, and when they, it doesn't say and if they, he says, and when they bring you before the magistrates, before the governing authorities, when they bring you there because of your faith, and that's key, your faith, don't worry about what to say. How many of us have done this? He said, if I had the opportunity to talk to somebody, here's what I would say. And you sat there and you rehearsed it in your mind, 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 and you wasted all that time and energy. Because you never got the opportunity anyhow. And there comes a point in time in our lives where we stop and think, well, if I have to defend my faith, or if I have to, the Lord says at this point, he says, guys, here's the crowd. Remember, the crowd's pressing down on them, and there's this pressure. Don't worry, guys. Don't worry. I'll give you the words to say. I'll give you the words to say. And there was one pastor who was going to be on a jury, and the judges, or not the judges, but the attorneys were asking, are you a Christian? Yeah. Are you a pastor? Yep. Yeah. How's that going to affect you? You know, will your Christianity allow you to do this? He says, I don't know, but he says, I am a Christian first, and every other decision I make after that is based upon who I am in Christ. And the attorney said, we don't need him. Okay, and he said, I couldn't believe that I said that. He said, I went out and I wrote the story down. Why? Because the Spirit gave him the words to say the moment he needed them. And for us to understand that he's here talking to him about him again, he said, beware of hypocrisy. And our defense against the hypocritical, number one, verse 11, he says this, take ye no thought. A lot of your Bibles have the word, don't worry. Don't worry. Don't waste your energy. Don't waste your time. We do that. We rehearse in our minds and we think in our minds. And if I had the opportunity and if I could, and we find ourselves getting so ramped up inside, he says, relax. And then he says, for the Holy Ghost will teach you in the very same hour what you ought to say. Just trust me. Trust me. What you ought to say. And when we're out there and the hypocrites are around us, just be a light. Just shine for the Lord. And if you need to say something, don't worry. I got this. And I'll speak through your mind, and I'll speak through your heart, and it'll come out your lips, and you'll be surprised what you come up with. And so the Lord's taking them here at this point, and he's sharing with them, guys, he said, be careful of the hypocrisy that's around you. What's the opposite of hypocrisy? It's being genuine. Genuine. And what did Jesus say about the Pharisees? You're of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. And he was a liar from the beginning. He was filled with deception. That is hypocrisy. Who's our father? It's Jesus. Not a lie. No deception. And we'll be just like him. Be just like him. And he's telling his guys that day, he says, guys, this, be careful, beware, watch out. There's hypocrisy around you. Understand one thing. I got this. You follow me. You follow me. And there's a genuineness in regards to us. And a reality of us in regards to us, if we are his followers and there's something that's real about us. The world sees the hypocrisy and they're quick to jump on it. And it's like old Abraham Lincoln used to say, you probably, because I mean, you can repeat this, you can fool some of the people all the time and all of the people some of the time, but you cannot fool all the people all the time. Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. And so as we stop here today and think about this, and we said it from the very beginning, what did the original language talk about the idea of hypocrisy? It meant to wear the mask. My question today for us is this, am I wearing a mask? am I wearing a mask? And as you and I are here this day, and we see it around us, it is abundant around us, the hypocrisy, the double standards, the deception, the lying, and we sit back as Christians, we go, Lord, 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 how, why are they getting away with it? He says, they're not. Will you trust me on this? And he says, be careful yourself. Be careful yourself that you don't fall into this hypocrisy also. Remember, only a tiny pinch of yeast can create this loaf of bread. A tiny pinch of hypocrisy can create a monster in a person if you were not careful about getting it out. And the question for all of us today, am I wearing a mask? Hopefully we're not. Hopefully we're not. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, in the day that we find ourselves where there seems to be so much hypocrisy around us and it abounds everywhere, Lord, that you told your disciples over 2,000 years ago, be careful. I want you to understand this. And it's the same for us today. It's just as real for us today as it was for them 2,000 years ago. And so, Father, as we come before you this day, we ask that you help us in our own lives not to be discouraged, but to think about you and to think about your power and to think about your promises and to think about what you say from your word. They're not going to get away with it. Father, forgive us for being impatient. Forgive us, Lord, for wanting it done on our timetable and not yours. But help us to cling to your promises of what you said you will do. And it may not happen till the judgment seat of Christ, the great white throne judgment, but Lord, help us then to be patient, realizing you were always true to your word. And what is best for the situation at that very moment is what you're going to allow to happen. And so help us, Lord, as your followers, not to be hypocritical. Help us, Lord, to trust you when hypocrisy abounds around us. And help us, Father, not to be wearing masks. Lord, this morning, maybe there's someone here yet, if they've never received you as their Savior, to find the genuine, the real, may they respond. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. I never take this for granted. Do you know that you are tied with the genuine, with Jesus himself? Do you know that you're not going to be in Gehenna one day? You're not going to be in hell one day, but you know you're going to be with the Lord in heaven. And if you're not sure of that, we want to make sure that you are sure of that. And we'll speak to you after the morning service. Slip your hand up and put it down. Anyone like that? Father, help us all. Sometimes under the pressure, it's easy to kind of be quiet. And it's easy, Lord, not to be something that we really aren't. Maybe to say some things that are just not quite what you would say. To behave in such a way that maybe we're behaving not quite the way you would behave. And we're trying to hide from those around us who we really are. Help us to be bold in our walk. Help us to be bold in our witness, in our faith in who our Savior is. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.